Welcome to Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse monthly podcast for all aspiring wordsmiths and versifiers.
All right, we're here again to record our thoughts on book and film, or
book to film.
Book to film. So talking about the books we've read and the films we've seen and what we thought about them. So I am Carolyn Corden.
Jeanette.
And I'm Marilyn.
So we'll start with news. And I guess the news for this week
is the launch of the program of the Gawler Festival of Words.
Indeed.
Truth.
That went well.
It was lovely. Lovely to see so many people in the room that we're here right now.
Yes.
And, we didn't have the room we were meant to be in or we wanted to be in, but this worked beautifully well. If there were too many more, it would have been too crowded.
Yes.
It was cosy. Very, very cosy. Extremely cosy.
Then Chris talked about her Three Rivers project, and you probably hear Chris's voice out there right now because she's working on it in the next room. So that's going on in the background. And the program is out, so
the
booking forms.
Out there, yep.
Yes, people want to book, they can. So we will proceed with our poet writer discussion, and this week we're talking about favourite books that have been turned into film or TV series. And so Carolyn,
I've got a well-read copy of Dune,
yes,
which I read when I was, I don't know.
And I have the
15,
identical
14,
copy.
13.
Mine looks equally well-read and well-loved. So.
Yeah.
In fact, that looks like mine.
I've read a few times. I suspect this was actually Graham's, my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's no notes written in it because we respect books too much to write. And I really enjoyed that book. I may not have understood all of the implications of what was happening because I was quite young the first time I read it, but I really did enjoy it. And just the people and the background and the location, all of it was so exciting and new.
He creates a world, an alternate world, and it's so rich in detail.
But to see that put up on the big screen as a movie thing, that is so lame. Those worms are so lame. And it's so disappointing.
Yes, it was disappointing.
It's just like I would never bother to watch that film again.
No.
Because that was a much loved book.
Mm.
And to see what happened to it, it's just, why bother? If you can't really.
Also,
but you can't do it. This is a huge book. You can't do it.
Like that cannot be condensed successfully into a film. It just doesn't work.
The idea that was just, I mean, yes, you've got people who've got these particular blue eyes. Yes, that's from the drug they have, and yes, blue eyes, but that's hardly a major point of the whole book.
There was a book, it was a fantasy. It's set in England and it draws on English fairy lore. And by fairy lore, it's not the kind of pretty, weird fairies
yes.
of Shakespeare. It's the original.
No, Disney. Shakespeare and Disney might have
different.
No,
Shakespeare.
Okay.
No, Shakespeare. I did a major project in honours how Shakespeare redefined what a fairy was. From, traditionally, they were big, sneaky, often devious, trustworthy.
Wow.
They weren't cute. They were really, really weren't cute. This book draws on that original lore. So for that alone, I loved it. It was probably about the size of Dune. And it got sold off to rights got sold to be made into a film, and I was sort of looking at this.
No, don't.
Oh, it's not going to work.
No.
And fortunately, it fell through, and then the BBC got the rights to it and did a 6-part TV series.
Oh, so it was better as that.
Yeah. There's a lot of
the BBC. They care about things.
Yeah. Not convinced they always care about things right now, but
money gets in the way, doesn't it?
It does.
The accounting department rather than the creatives.
Yes, once the accounting department has too much say, then... However, the book I was going to talk about, adaptation, and I haven't got the book with me, but I haven't seen the TV series, but that's what sort of made me think about it, is Picnic at Hanging Rock, which was a book I think worked extremely well as a film. It's a small book, and I think Peter Weir captured the essence of the book really well at that. Mystique about the landscape, the disconnect between white society and the land that they're living in. And I think he brought all that to the screen really, really well. One of the best, probably, movie to book adaptations of.
I can't think whether I've actually seen the film. I probably have. Jeanette, you can't see Jeanette, but she's got a really look on her face. I probably have seen it because.
It is the classic Australian film.
I love the book. And I love the fact that there was so much unexplained, and the film.
Have you read the ending? It got published back Mum went and got, and it was in like in a brown envelope. It's just,
did that ruin it or?
No, it was, I thought it was really interesting. It was drawing an Aboriginal legend where they really are consumed by the rock, the spirits within the rock, and the girl that's ejected is too materialistic, so she's ejected. The girl that they find is ejected.
So she misses out on the wonderful things, Aboriginal lore, dream time, stuff that's happening. Well, good on her. Good on it.
It's a very interesting final chapter. I don't know whether it was better with or without.
Why was it not published? Because
they felt the mystery.
Yes. That's the way I feel about it, yeah.
Yeah. So I was always a little bit, I'm not sure I really do want to read it or not.
But the film didn't have any of the ending.
No.
So that was open, left open. No. I like, you know, I don't think you have to tie things up.
No.
I like the idea of leaving things open, even though.
Yes, I do too.
As a writer trying to work out the ending of my novel, I'm. Okay. I've written at that note. Well, do I need to do? I don't know.
I've changed the ending continually, like the gate. I've changed the ending to that so many times.
Oh, really?
And the one Angus is editing, I changed the ending so many times. The only one I haven't was London Calling, where I didn't plan that ending at all.
Yeah.
And I just knew it had to end that way, and I didn't want it to end that way. But
sequel's coming. No.
I'm still. I enjoy the sequel, but when I read through it, I'm thinking, what other people? There's not enough.
So you've written the sequel. You have written the sequel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
Marilyn.
Well, I haven't a specific book, but I was just thinking generally of the means of converting a book into a film. Very often in books, you can. The author can tell you what the person is thinking, and that can go on for quite a bit. And unless you've got the person talking out loud to herself as she's in a bus and going somewhere.
Unless you have a narrator, and that could be bad or wonderful.
I've noticed that what a lot of them do is add in an extra character, a friend.
Yep.
And she confides in this friend. And that you get to know what the character is thinking that way. Straight away, it's a change from the book because there's somebody there who wasn't there before. But
it can work.
It can work if... Yeah. I can't think of one at the moment, but...
It's not a film, but in the BBC adaptation of Bleak House, they add in a character that the lawyer talks to, so it's clear what his motives are.
Yeah.
And that character's not in the book. But it's necessary to have...
Yeah.
To show the machinations that are happening.
Well, it's very interesting to see some of the films of Agatha Christie's novels that are on TV in a series. And I wouldn't never really have realised it if I hadn't read a book just before I saw the film of it, because I knew it was coming up, so I thought I'll just read that one. And it doesn't have Miss Marple in it.
Is that Ordeal by Innocence?
It could be.
Because that completely changed the story.
And when she burst in, arrived, she was the heroine. She said that she was the heroine's governess or something, she didn't have a governess, she didn't want a governess. But that was how she that's how she got into the story. She was her governess and in due course she turned up at this house to solve the mystery.
I just recently watched the adaptation of Ordeal by Innocence. I really liked it, but I didn't recognise the story at all. And it's been years since I read Agatha Christie. Mm. So I looked it up because I realised there was some controversy about the changes to the script, so the story, so I wondered what they were. And when I looked at what the book was about, it's completely different.
Yeah.
They even changed the murderer.
Oh, really? Changed the murderer?
Major story changes. And I thought, well, I really like what she did, but she told a completely different story to the one Agatha Christie told. Yeah. It's not an adaptation.
Oh, really?
It's just... So that, I think, is going too far.
Yes.
If you're going to take the story, that's just using the Agatha Christie thing to sell something, a product that isn't an Agatha Christie.
Yes.
It was really, really good, and it didn't need to be sold as an Agatha Christie thing. It could have stood on its own 2 feet.
But there's a locked-in audience for Agatha Christie stuff. Right. So
it's cheating. It's
not the materialistic stuff that has to happen in life, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's it ceases to be an adaptation, and what then happens is people cease to trust.
Yes.
So in the next adaptation they do, people will turn away because it's not what they expect it to be. So it doesn't always work.
I feel a bit like with Dune, I feel like the initial book by Frank Herbert was, that's it, you don't have to go any further. But there's this book after book after book,
and
I think God Emperor of Dune and all that stuff, and I've read some of them, and I think,
I've read they're not very good.
No.
And I think they were
written by somebody else. His son probably died, and something like that.
Ended up writing.
Yeah, and I don't, it's just lessened to the whole thing.
But there was, I'm thinking of one book made into a film, and they were both as boring as each other, in my opinion, and that was Out of Africa. I couldn't read the book. I didn't get past the first couple of pages.
So that was true to the book, then, that film? It's boring?
Absolutely boring. Nothing happens in it. Absolutely nothing happens. You keep thinking something might happen.
Beautiful scenery.
Beautiful. And I didn't even think the scenery was all that beautiful. All those plains with flat-top trees. It's pretty boring scenery compared to what else is around in the world. I absolutely didn't like either of the book or the... Well, I can't really speak truly of the book because I didn't really read it.
I think I've got the book. I don't remember if I read it or not.
I saw the film first. That probably put me off ever wanting to read the book. Probably the Agatha Christie people, they should say, based on the characters, like they do with the...
I didn't think it was even based on the characters.
Not if they had a different murderer. Did they invent a new murderer, or did they make another character be the murderer?
And the story itself worked really well, but...
I'm trying to remember which one is Ordeal by Innocence.
Well, there's so many of them. Mm. I've read lots of them, but I can't remember which is which now.
I did the one on the island that... They had to change the name because the original name was politically incorrect.
I know the one you
mean.
Where
they're getting
killed
off.
And then there were none.
Yeah, and then there were none. Mm. I remember who did it. I was really happy to remember who did it.
I've got a terrible memory, so I can read those books over and over if I really want to, but I haven't read Agatha Christie for a long time.
So can I? I did like the adaptation of Anne of Green Gables, one of them. I don't know how many there have been.
Really good. The Anne with an E one, the recent one?
No, not that one, the other one. Because it seemed to capture the essence of it all.
I keep hearing really good things about the most recent adaptation.
She's not as pretty. She's a really... ugly Anne, which is probably more true to the book, but I like the other one anyway.
Yeah. I was force-fed Anne of Green Gables as a teenager, and I...
Just can we go on a different note? Yes. Have any of you read a book that you would really love to be made into a movie? If it was made into a good movie, true to what it was, or you just think, no, the book is enough, it's in my head, it's there?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to, I was always hoping that Peter Jackson would manage to get hold of the film rights to The Silmarillion and do one of the stories in Silmarillion, Brennan Luthien. It's probably, to me, the standout story because Silmarillion is really a collection of short stories and that would make a fabulous film.
Yeah.
But the family won't release the film rights. So.
Ah.
Actually, there's one book that I've read recently. I would love to see film rights sold to it, and it's actually written by one of our guests during our festival, Tracy Crisp, and her book Surrogate. Oh. I'm thinking that would be really interesting, but who knows? She'd probably like to sell the film rights too.
I'd like to sell the film rights to my book.
Yes, I haven't written anything that you could sell the film rights to, although poems could be made into short film and who knows.
Just studying the film of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which apparently stretches enormously because it's a short story. It's only a few pages.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And it's quite a good short story, but to make it into a film...
But a book has got so much more than a film it will ever have, so that's not that badly misplaced for a film...
What about that one, To Kill a Mockingbird? That was a fairly good film.
That was back in the 50s, though.
It was black and white, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah, Gregory Peck. Yes, I do remember seeing that. But, yeah, but I think they did much better, made better films in the 50s than they do now.
Mm.
Could be. Because they're not doing it for money, they're doing it for the essence of the true... Oh,
they were still doing it for the money, but...
No, but not the true essence. They didn't care about the actual book as much as what...
I think they were more interested in the story, that now they're more interested in the marketing effects, the special effects that they can
and
conjure up.
Avatar, oh please, Avatar, really?
There was no story at all.
No.
No characterisation.
It had so effects, and the effects were like, yeah, so...
Come to the word of the month, and the word I've picked out of the calendar that Marilyn gave me is acrobibe.
And I've never heard of that word.
No,
you think about the word, the
dig for these.
Acrobibe. Think about it, and you might be able to work out what it's all about. But Janet's going to tell you anyway.
Straight from the Latin, aqua for water, and bibe is in to consume. So it's a water drinker. Swilking is another great word for someone that's drunk.
Swilking, he's swilking on that man. He is swilking. Don't let him get in the car. He's swilking. Hide his keys. He's swilking.
He should be an aquabibe.
Yes,
not a swilker.
So.
Swilking, that's an excellent word.
Isn't it?
Yeah. A
lovely word. I really do like the word
Sorry,
swilking.
You've been squilking, man.
It's been a squiffy. Like Andy and I. She found it, heard it in a book or read it in a book or heard it in the radio or something, and she thought that was a great word. So we were on a school trip and on the bus, and we just said, oh, we're feeling squiffy. Didn't have a clue what it meant.
Well, I knew somebody used to say
this. When you found out later, it meant intoxicated. Because we were very upright. Didn't drink at that age.
Really?
Apart from Bailey's.
That's just
plastic. That's not drinking. That's just milkshake.
Gets you a bit squiffy though.
So, we've done word of the day. The writer's tip. Carolyn.
The writer's tip is, when you go outside, use your senses to find inspiration. See, hear, smell, touch, taste. There's much out there in the real world to see, hear, smell, touch and taste. Think about that and put that into your writing. And it brings more nuance and aliveness to your words.
Yes, and it doesn't matter whether it's present day, set in the past, set in the future, science fiction, fantasy, everything needs to have a grounding in
Just reading signs and names of shops can be quite entertaining. Mm. I'm easily entertained, perhaps.
No, you're a writer. That's what that's all about.
Names are interesting.
Yes, yeah, street names.
Apart from ours. First, second, third, fourth.
21st Street.
Yes.
5th Street. Yeah. Boring.
Very. They could have just changed the street names to other street names instead of numbering them. They were being very lazy.
They were, weren't they? Mm. Absolutely.
Writer's tip, we've done that. And finally, reading of own works. No, I'm the same.
Oh. I've got one of my wise words. I came up with a new one today, and it is, friendship like time changes from season to season, but it remains true no matter what may happen.
Okay, and the listener's challenge, which...
Come up with a wise word, a little wise phrase of your own, if you can. We'd love to hear your wise words.
We would.
Or something from your past, something your mum used to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't come in before darkness, you'll get your kidneys will freeze because it's getting chilly out there or something stupid like that.
Or maybe a time when you were swilking.
Yes.
No.
No, don't do that one.
Mm-hmm.
Time when you were aquabibing.
Yes.
Aquabibing's a good way to go.
So I'm amazing there's a word for it.
Mm.
For drinking water.
I didn't have to call Angus that. It's an aquabibe. Okay, and I think we'll call it quits then.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye everyone.
Goodbye.